Gretchen, I don't think you could come any closer to that feeling that we were just talking about of Julie London on Cry Me a River than that. I really feel that your version of Goodnight, My Love really captures that same sort of intimate feeling. It's like you're kind of just, it's like you're there in the still of the night singing it to us.
Well, that's neat. That's you know, Barbara singing the lead on that.
Mm-hmm.
And this, when you asked me if I had a story, it's because I was the original lead singer, and then Gary became lead singer with me, and then more and more he was, well, on the album, Mr. Blue, it's about half and half. I sing many of the leads, as does Gary, but Barbara doesn't sing any of the leads. And then I remember we were in the studio recording a cappella, and she was all agitated. She said, I had a dream last night. I dreamed that I had my own mic, and I didn't know what to do with it. And so anyway, so we started giving her more leads, and this was one of them. It was on an album, but it was not released as a single. Bob Reisdorf really pushed Gary mostly for the singles. And the disc jockeys in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle particularly, got hold of the album, of course, and started playing Goodnight, My Love. And so it was by listeners' request and demand that it was released as a single.
I think it was your last charting single, too.
It was. It was our 11th Billboard hit and our 9th Top 40 hit. And so it actually, I was just rehearsing it yesterday because we'll be probably ending our show in Las Vegas with Goodnight, My Love, and thinking of Barbara.
Who will be singing with you in Las Vegas on the Cool Bobby B. Doo-Wop Stop Show?
Well, I mentioned John Worsley.
Okay.
singing the Mr. Blue part, and my cute cousin Karen Cohn from Connecticut, who is Barbara's favorite replacement. And the reason I say that is because she stepped in, that is, Karen stepped in when Gary stepped out, which was Expo 86, just before Expo 86. I mean, he had actually resigned from the group, retired before that, and then he got hold of me and said, I want to sing with you again. And I said, well, I was just going to submit my solo act for the World's Fair, but I guess I could submit both the Fleetwoods and Gretchen Christopher. And then I thought, ooh, I might be putting stiff competition there, you know? I'd be competing against myself. But I decided to go ahead and do it and just let the producers decide. So producer called me in and said, what would be chances of having both Gretchen Christopher and the Fleetwoods? And I smiled and I said, 100%, that would be perfect, because that's what was and this is what is.
There you
and,
go.
Yeah, and so, but then a week before the show, Gary walked out. And so my cute cousin Karen Cohn from Connecticut was flying in to visit me, and I said, did you learn the parts? Because she said she'd love to sing with us, and I'd given her an album of our greatest hits, so she slapped on those earphones, listened for the six-hour flight, spent the entire week, which was all we had, with those headphones on all the time, and she learned all of Barbara's parts, and then I sang my parts and Gary's parts. So it was it was quite something. It would be... I'm Lady Blue, wahoo, wahoo, you know, singing both in harmony. So anyway, I dedicated that to him because I thought, what am I going to do with it? And somebody said, just sing it as Lady Blue. And so that's what I did. And Karen has been, the reason that I said that she was Barbara's favorite replacement was because there were recordings done at the World's Fair live, and Barbara heard them afterwards and said, she sounds just like me. And I thought, that is the greatest compliment that we could have had.
And when did Barbara retire from the group?
9 years before Gary, which was 1974, and Gary was 1983.
Okay. Actually, I just got an email in from Barry from San Diego, who says you were talking about that guitar player, Don Rich?
Yeah.
And it was Buck Owens' band that he was playing with.
Oh, thank you.
And Mick in Portland, Oregon wanted to know if you used to play the Castle.
Yes, the Spanish Castle. Yes, in, was it Tacoma or Seattle? Anyway, in the Seattle-Tacoma area and Parker's Ballroom. Those were the two places that we played there. But we seem to play more all over the United States than locally.
And Mike in Maryland wants the story behind the story on why Dolphin Records was forced to change their name to Dalton Records.
Well, after choosing Dolphin and having the labels designed with the three fishes, one big one and two little ones, it turned out that one of the big publishing companies had a small label that it had established for quite a few years, and they said either change the name or be sued. So it was as simple as that. So Bob kept the fish on the label, but changed it to Dolphin, or from Dolphin to Dalton.
How many records? Yeah. How many records in was that?
The change? That was on Come Softly to Me, our very first record, Dolphin number one. I'm looking at it right now, the gold records, and seeing the fish, you know, on the label. And,
right.
Yeah, it was right out of the bag there. So Bob Reisdorf decided, well, you know, we're hardly established, so it's a number one record, but it's the only one we have, so he said, you know, I'm not going to get into a lawsuit over it. We'll just change it.
Cool. Well, let's hear another song off the new record, Gretchen's
okay.
Sweet 16, which you can hear samples of at your website, gretchenchristopher.com.
Right.
And Fleetwoods.com.
And this was this is the title song that I wrote when I turned 16, you know, recently had my 16th leap year birthday. So I wrote this song, and actually I was on my way up to a birthday party that Roger Fisher from Heart was having for himself and myself and several of us who have February birthdays. And so I, as Boz drove us up there, I wrote these six verses plus a bridge, and I sang it to him, and he made some criticism. Well, there was kind of a joke on him. There was some place in there, and anyway, I just put in a line that was very funny, but it was kind of, the laugh was on him, and he didn't like that, and so he said, isn't it awfully wordy, and it seems like there should be a hook. And I said, well, okay, I'll forget this melody. I'll just do it as rap.
There you go.
But so, people insisted that I write a melody, so this is the one I came up with, and it's so subtle you may not even realize it, but it goes through when the Texas musicians finished recording it or writing it out for me and recording it, said, my gosh, it goes through six different key changes. But they loved that. They were tickled by it.
And when having a leap year birthday, I would imagine you celebrated your birthday on the 28th, right? Not March 1st.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, if I had to choose between the 28th of February or March 1st, I'd choose February because at least it has the right name for the
mm-hmm.
month.
Right.
But what I would do, since I have a birthday only once every 4 years, on the other 3 years or some of those 3 years, I have Pisces parties. And I collect Pisces friends. And, oh, you're a Pisces? Oh, I'll invite you to my Pisces party. And that way we can celebrate everybody's birthday, you know, who's born between the 20th of March and the 20th of February.
Mm-hmm.
Other way around, I
other
guess.
Way around, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's celebrate your 16th birthday with Sweet 16.
Okay, and if you listen carefully, it tells the entire story of the album in just one song, and then all of the other songs flesh that out.
When I was 16, you were 18, the older man in my life. We fell in love for the very first time. Who knew it would last all your life? I went my way, pursued all my dreams, reached the unreachable star, left you behind, never looked back, never dreamed you still loved from afar. Then decades later you wrote me a letter, it reached me the month of my birthday, a thousand miles away. You'd lived 40 years, yet somehow your soul was still thirsty. Months later we met, we read our old yearbooks, the history of our love affair, tasted the kisses and toasted the moment, slept separately, still unaware. If your burning love could rekindle my own, and somehow my flame would be lit, I cried as I thanked you for making it right. After all of these years, I felt it. Now I'm sweet 16, you're my older man, like a couple of kids from the past. Laughter and love make our lives like a movie. Could our first love become our last? Yes, I'm sweet 16, you're my older man, but not just the same as before. No more, Mr. Blue, you've come softly to me, so our first love could grow even more.